KW1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The magnitude 5.2 earthquake was centered in Kern County, California, but felt as far south as Los Angeles.
There have been a bunch of aftershocks since the main quake, most of them very small. It was a few seconds of swaying in the main quake, felt heavier in northern LA County and in Kern County, north of LA, where the epicenter was. The LA Fire Department went out in what it calls earthquake mode, surveying the city. No damage was found, but it definitely rattled a lot of nerves on a Tuesday evening as people were at home relaxing.
ABC's Alex Stone in Los Angeles. Wisconsin and Michigan, the first two swing states Vice President Harris will visit today with newly chosen running mate Tim Walz, the Minnesota governor. The Richmond, Virginia-based federal appeals court on Tuesday upheld Maryland's decade-old ban on semi-automatic rifles, including the AR-15. The majority rejecting the argument of gun rights groups that the ban is unconstitutional. This is ABC News. A few years after pandemic mask mandates, they're now banned in a New York City suburb. ABC's Brian Clark explains.
Face masks worn in public to hide one's identity are now banned in Nassau County on New York's Long Island. The county's Republican-controlled legislature introduced and passed the bill, saying it was in response to anti-Semitic incidents carried out by people wearing masks. The New York Civil Liberties Union says it's a free speech infringement. There are exceptions for health and religious reasons. Penalties include up to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine. Brian Clark, ABC News, New York.
And he's off. Jim the Shark Dreher entered Lake Michigan at Grand Haven, Michigan, Tuesday, intent on swimming across the lake to Milwaukee, 83 miles or more away, depending on lake conditions. He's trying to repeat the feat he first performed in 1998 when it took 41 hours. He's trying to raise money for the nonprofit U.S. Coast Guard Chief Petty Officers Association. Richard Cantu, ABC.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm sitting in the theater, Conrad. I'm alone. A couple walks in. Where do you think they sat?
Right in front of you.
Right in front of me. You moron. How can you... Spatial awareness. My goodness. Next day, I go to this bathroom. There's like 7 urinals. I'm all the way down on the end. Where do you think this person came in? Not right next to me, but enough where it was weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, we'll be moving with the Malcors. Ben and Deanna join us to talk real estate. Then Sam Floyd is in from Operation Coffee. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today. We will get into the upper 70s to around 80 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the southeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, a sprinkle or two possible. Otherwise, partly cloudy, low of 60. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
busted pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
Randy Weingarten, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, 11:33, Dr. Laura Hanks with public cervix announcement. Send in your questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Zone.
On a Wednesday, I'm Stephanie Hoff, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yonke. Not even the rain and the ankle-deep water in some areas of State Fair Park could have kept us away from the Century and Sesquicentennial Farm Breakfast. If you follow along with us at Midwest Farm Report on Facebook, you can see pictures of the celebration. Despite the chilly weather and the water, we were honored to help celebrate these families that have farmed the same land for more than 100 or 150 years and help capture their stories to share with the next generations. Congratulations again to those families. And make sure you give these stories a listen at MidwestFarmReport.com. Just click on the Century and Sesquicentennial Farm Salute tab. It doesn't look like any of the rain from earlier this week is going to continue. I heard yesterday from one of the Century farms about how difficult it's been to get hay off the ground this summer, so a few dry days will certainly be a blessing. We'll hear more from our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck, later in the hour on the forecast for this week. We've got a jam-packed morning here on the Midwest Farm Report. We'll bring you state fair highlights, farm equipment trends, and news on the bugs that may have been driving you crazy. It's all right here.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Join the Midwest Farm Report and Pam Yonke as she kicks off Wisconsin Farm Technology Days at the Oxbow exhibit on August 13th at 9 a.m. in booth 347. Oxbow is a leader in harvesting and application technology. Visit oxbow.com.
The fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke will also be broadcasting at 11:30 a.m. in booth 520 on 5th Street with Rural Mutual Insurance. Learn how the number one farm insurer is keeping Wisconsin strong with premiums paid here that stay here. Visit ruralmutual.com.
The recent heavy rains across Wisconsin have significantly impacted mosquito populations, leading to heightened mosquito pressure in many areas of the state. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and state entomologist PJ Leash provides some insight into the current situation and offers valuable recommendations to both the public and farmers to mitigate the mosquito bites and breeding grounds.
Yeah, well, the rain certainly has had an impact on our mosquitoes, and in many parts of the state, there is pretty high mosquito pressure out there. I have been getting reports from around Wisconsin, and especially some areas such as the western part of the state, the Driftless area where there's more woods, and also the North Woods. Those parts of the state in particular seem to have really high mosquito pressure. The North Woods isn't too surprising with all the water. We always seem to have mosquitoes up there. But again, southwestern Wisconsin, some surprisingly high pressure there. Once you get into more urban, suburban areas, it's maybe not quite as bad, but still a definite presence this year. And because of their association with water, the rain has certainly helped mosquitoes out.
So what types of mosquitoes then are most prevalent this season? Are there any significant health risks, or is there just one type of mosquito? I guess I don't even know.
It turns out we actually have a whole bunch of different types of mosquitoes, and if you start splitting some fine hairs, we actually have between 50 and 60 different species of mosquitoes known from Wisconsin. There can be some very subtle but important distinctions between these in terms of their biology and behavior and potential to spread or carry diseases. Now, I mentioned that we are having some very strong mosquito pressure in many parts of the state. Some good news at this point, though, is that I've been keeping an eye on some of the statistics that are being published for diseases like West Nile virus, which is probably our main mosquito spread disease that I think of in the state. And things are really pretty good at the moment in terms of activity of that disease. It's a little bit interesting, because we actually tend to see more West Nile virus in parts of the country where you actually have drier conditions, and that's a little bit counterintuitive, but there's some interesting dynamics that come into play. But when I think of West Nile virus, the highest states tend to be locations such as California, Colorado, Arizona, kind of that drier southwestern part of the U.S. So we're actually sitting pretty good at the moment here in Wisconsin.
What recommendations do you have for farmers or even the public then to minimize those mosquito bites that keep us up itching at night and reduce the breeding grounds around their homes?
Yeah, so a number of things that you can do. You just hit on one of them, which is reducing those breeding grounds or breeding habitat around your home or around your farm. And what I'm getting at is really standing water. Now, sometimes this is out of our hands. If you have a farm pond, you know, we're just not going to drain that. But you can look in your yard, and be it on a farm or in an urban area, look for standing water. That could be a clogged gutter. That could be a low-lying spot on a tarp that's covering some firewood. It could be a kid's toy in the sandbox that fills up with a bit of water. Even something as small as the plastic bottle cap from a bottle of water, if that is on the ground, upside down, it fills with water, a little bit of organic material from a fallen leaf or something like that, that can breed a decent number of mosquitoes. So going through your yard, diligently getting rid of things like that, maybe if it's something that normally has water in it, like a bird bath, make sure you're changing out that water about once a week or so. The longer the water sits there, if it's in the range of a week and a half, 2 weeks, that might be enough to get some mosquitoes out of it. So reducing that water in and around your yard, that can help to a certain extent, because some mosquitoes stay relatively close to home. They don't fly very far when the adults emerge. Some other things to protect yourself: if it's not too hot, wearing long sleeve clothing is a great way, because you have a physical barrier between the mosquitoes and your skin. If they can't get to you, they can't bite you. Then there's also some really effective repellents if they're used properly. And I always recommend that folks check the label, make sure they are getting an EPA registered repellent. There's old gold standards like DEET, and there's some other ones, Picaridin, IR3535. And if you're looking for more of a plant-based one, there's something called oil of lemon eucalyptus, which has science backing it up. And so all of those that I mentioned, you can usually find at the hardware store or a sporting goods store. One other option, I've seen folks do this year, if the mosquitoes or biting flies are bad, maybe taking out a head net or even a mesh suit if it's really hot to cover you while you're doing yard work. That can be another effective way to help keep them at bay.
Besides those pesky mosquitoes, what other insect populations should we be paying attention to with the recent weather conditions that we've been having?
Well, a couple of things come to mind with the rain that we've seen this year. And every single year, the weather, the temperature, the amount of rainfall we have can have some pretty big impacts on insects and related creatures. A few things stand out to me that I've been seeing some issues with, both in crop fields, but also in home gardens and in ornamental plantings and yards, so flowers and trees and shrubs and things like that. And a couple of things that stand out to me would be some pests like earwigs, which are mostly active after dark, and they can chew notches in leaves. And so if you are a farmer or a gardener and you look at your plants and you can't figure out what's causing the damage, one suggestion I have been throwing out there to folks is head out after dark with a flashlight or a headlamp, because earwigs can cause damage after dark. I've also seen a lot of activity from slugs, which aren't technically insects, although as an entomologist, I often get asked questions about slugs. As slugs are another creature that has been thriving because of the damp, rainy conditions, and also tends to be mostly active after dark. So I have seen cases of crop damage and damage in vegetable gardens from both earwigs and slugs. So those would be things to have on your radar this year.
So you mentioned the slugs. That's kind of an unusual pattern, maybe what we're used to. Have you observed any other unusual patterns or increase in specific pests this year that maybe surprised you compared to past?
One thing that has surprised me a bit would be the Japanese beetles, which are well known both to farmers and home gardeners alike because they can be such a notorious pest. And it's been interesting because many spots in the southern half of the state have been seeing a reprieve now for a couple of years. And I suspect it is due to some of the drier conditions we've had last year and really the last 2 to 3 years. But the last few years, the majority of my reports of Japanese beetles and of significant numbers and significant damage have been more of like the Highway 29 corridor on north. So locations such as Green Bay area, Brown County, Marathon County, the general Wausau area in Eau Claire, that part of the state on north is where I'm getting a lot more of my reports. And if I went back 10 years or 20 years, that wasn't the case. Back in time, it was much more southern Wisconsin. So that insect is starting to push its way farther north in the state. And so all of a sudden, farmers and homeowners in north central Wisconsin, for example, are having to see and deal with Japanese beetles on a much more regular basis.
And so what other suggestions or advice would you give to both residents and our agricultural professionals as we do kind of navigate this buggy year ahead?
Perhaps my best piece of advice is simply to be observant. And I know if you're a farmer or just a general homeowner, we have a lot on our plate. But if you are observant and you keep an eye out and you notice something is going on with your crops or plants in your garden or your yard, pay attention to that and then do some detective work, some additional digging to try and figure out what's going on. Sometimes it can be insect-related. Sometimes those symptoms might be caused by a plant disease. And a lot of plant diseases are doing well this year because of the rain, too. And so you need to do a little bit of detective work and try and figure out what's going on. Once you know what the problem is, in my mind, the battle's half over, because then it's really easy to look up what you need to do next to deal with it.
That was PJ Leash, state entomologist, also known as the Wisconsin Bug Guy, along with us. Be sure to take proper precautions as we continue to have warm weather and possible rains to truly enjoy being outside without the nuisance of these pesky insects. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Todd Alba Show.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, if you're watching on the stream, you can see behind me what we're now calling the J.D. Vance couch. There are some reports that back in the day, during the frat days of J.D. Vance, he may have gotten intimate with a couch. So.
You know, I've slept on that couch a few times, but I can't say I've slept with that couch, and nor do I plan to.
No.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
The moment I walked out of the auditorium, I said, it's our time now. It's the little girls that look like me who wake up with brown skin and sometimes wonder, do they matter? To have someone like Kamala, who is not only qualified, but representative of voices that have been ignored for far too long, it felt like all things are possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Discover Wisconsin host and Survivor, Andrea Belke. And from the hit Madison stage show, Paul Blart 3, Nathan Talaga.
Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, weeknights 7 till 9. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Quite a bit of rain over the past few days. Linda had a half inch in Reeseville. David saw an inch in Burlington, almost a half inch from Dennis and Brownsville, almost an inch from Frank and Elroy, and more than an inch in Fitchburg at the Mark Jones Farm. It's time now for our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Stu, you know, after the moisture we saw earlier this week, it sounds like it might just be the end of that. What do you got for the week?
Well, I think we're in for a pretty good week. I'll chime in and say we had about 3/4 of an inch, both at my place and at my friend John over near Armstrong, Wisconsin. Not a bad situation, like we didn't really need all that extra moisture. The rest of the week's going to be a little bit cooler, but we are going to look further off to the northwest today. Now, the low that brought that rain even yesterday morning, way over toward Ohio, pulling away from us, the next system's brought a cool front into North Dakota, extending from north central to western North Dakota. There's some rain in western North Dakota, western and southern South Dakota this morning, and north of Minnesota up into Canada. What I'm expecting is that cool front will drop southeast. Shower chance as we head into tonight. May last just through the night or into early tomorrow at the latest, but that little front then drops southeast through Wisconsin. Like I say, developing tonight in far northwest Wisconsin, and then slowly marching across the state, maybe not happening till almost late morning, midday in southern and southeast Wisconsin into the day tomorrow. But that weak front swings on through. Not going to be a big deal, a tenth of an inch or two if we see that much rain. But a little wave of rain will march across the state. Behind that, even though it is rain that we probably could do without, behind that comes some cooler air. And I expect by Friday and Saturday, upper 60s in the northwest and low 70s elsewhere. A much cooler air mass going to settle in for the weekend. A real cool way to wrap up this year's Wisconsin State Fair, no doubt. And a real cool start to the weekend for any of our other activities. Dry weather should prevail, although it may not dry out as quickly as we'd like because it's cooler. But I expect to see some real dry, cool conditions right on from Friday right into early next week. Temperatures rising a bit early next week, back into the upper 70s, at least trying to get their way a bit closer to normal for this time of the season. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
Are rising utility bills putting a strain on your farm's bottom line?
Focus on Energy can identify energy efficiency upgrades designed to help you save for years to come.
Kickstart a more energy efficient future for your farm. Call 800-762-7077 or visit focusonenergy.com/agribusiness to learn more.
Come find us in Agribusiness Tent 2 at this year's Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, booth number S253. That's Agribusiness Tent 2, number S253.
Big opportunities don't wait for the winter meeting season. Stay in the know now with Compeer Financial's Agri Mindset webinars, where industry experts bring you the latest in ag, and you don't have to leave the farm to listen in. Join us August 21st at 1 o'clock for an in-depth hour on navigating technology investments to benefit your farm in today's market. Sign up for Compeer's next Agri Mindset webinar at compeer.com/register. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.
I'll tell you what, Stu, I tried some of the Sporkies at the Wisconsin State Fair, and cool temperatures definitely sound better if you're trying to put away two Quick Trip Glazer donuts with ham and cheese in the middle of them. So, yeah, State Fair goers certainly happy with a cooler forecast on the way.
Yeah, cooler's going to work for all of us. And, in fact, our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update does call for some sunshine and still an okay August day. Mid and upper 70s are what I expect today, with east winds about 5. But tonight, partly cloudy. And in the northwest and even western part of the state, a small chance of rain developing in the late night, early morning hours. Temps dropping back into the upper 50s. And east winds become even southerly at about 5. That chance of a scattered shower or storm quickly slipping from west to east tomorrow. Very slight chance of a storm, just some rain, a tenth of an inch or two. Partly sunny, still in the mid and upper 70s on Thursday. The south winds become west 5 to 10. But Friday, cooler and different, mostly sunny. upper 60s in the west, low 70s at best in the south. The northwest winds at 5 to 10. Much the same for Saturday, Stephanie. Low 70s at best, mid 70s with sun on Sunday. I kind of like cooler weather, and I really like the way this one looks as we head toward this weekend. Should be a great chance to get out and do stuff.
And get some work done. If you are able to take advantage of the mild forecast this week to get work done or enjoy the state or county fairs, let us know. Just send us a text through our talk text line at 877-301-3276. That's 877-301-FARM. That's your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit Compeer.com.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Trump election lawyer Jenna Ellis made a cooperation deal in Arizona's fake elector investigation, while Arizona election officials scrambled to find polling places after school districts fearing election violence opt out. Arizona's attorney general indicted 18 alleged fake electors in April, though only 11 currently face prosecution. Ellis, along with other Trump associates, were charged with intent to commit fraud, changing votes of an elector, tampering with a public record, and presenting a false document. The Ellis cooperation agreement shields her from prosecution in Arizona. In Georgia, she pleaded guilty in exchange for 5 years of probation, restitution, and community service. While the fake elector scheme fallout continues, so it does for voter intimidation actions of Arizona extremists. School districts are refusing to allow facilities to be used as polling places, fearing violence or intimidation. A Washington Post analysis of Maricopa County shows schools comprised 37% of polling places in 2016. That's down to 14% for 2024, sending election officials scrambling to rent replacement venues and costing taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars. One Scottsdale official quoted by the Post said, "It just takes one flashpoint to ignite something that's catastrophic, and I absolutely don't want that to happen on any of my campuses." We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I was in a drive-thru line and forgot to order. I was on the phone, thought I ordered, and just stayed in line and got up to the window. There was no order for me. And I said to the guy, I go, "Can I just order now?" And he was so condescending. And he goes, "Well, typically what we do, sir, here is we order back at the speaker, and this is where you pick it up." I've never felt so stupid in my entire life.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The magnitude 5.2 earthquake was centered in Kern County, California, but felt as far south as Los Angeles.
There have been a bunch of aftershocks since the main quake, most of them very small. It was a few seconds of swaying in the main quake, felt heavier in northern L.A. County and in Kern County, north of L.A., where the epicenter was. The L.A. Fire Department went out in what it calls earthquake mode, surveying the city. No damage was found, but it definitely rattled a lot of nerves on a Tuesday evening as people were at home relaxing.
ABC's Alex Stone in Los Angeles. Wisconsin and Michigan, the first two swing states Vice President Harris will visit today with newly chosen running mate Tim Walz, the Minnesota governor. The Richmond, Virginia-based federal appeals court on Tuesday upheld Maryland's decade-old ban on semi-automatic rifles, including the AR-15, the majority rejecting the argument of gun rights groups that the ban is unconstitutional. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Communities around Wisconsin are getting money to reach out to people who need lead pipes removed. $900 million in loan money comes from the bipartisan infrastructure law. Communities can start applying at the end of the month. More than 37,000 lead service lines have been replaced or shut off in Wisconsin since 2018. Expect to hear more about reproductive rights from Vice President Kamala Harris as she campaigns for president. Marquette poll director Charles Franklin says it's the number one issue for Democratic voters.
But independents rank it quite a ways down. And so I think it's possible that she may emphasize that issue more than Biden was doing. Whether that brings any independents over is an open question.
Franklin speaking with Wisconsin Eye. Harris and Republican running mate J.D. Vance will both campaign in Eau Claire tomorrow. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
Jordan Love will play this week. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers holding practice, getting ready to play the Browns in Cleveland in their first preseason game, and Matt LaFleur has decided he wants to see Jordan Love take some snaps in the game. The quarterback's reaction at his locker.
You know, I'm excited just to be able to get back, get the feel of the season getting started. So get out there, see how long we're out there. But anytime you get to be on the field, I think it's a good opportunity to, you know, work on things, get better.
And it looks like his right tackle, Zach Tom, is ready to go after tearing a pectoral muscle in the weight room last April. Zach Tom asked if he's had any contact in pads yet.
I was doing that all last week. You could say that was like the last hurdle. They wanted to give me some live-ish reps. You know, that was good. That was good to prepare me for this week. And now we're obviously to the next step, which would be me playing in the game.
Baseball tonight, the Brewers and Braves in Atlanta after a huge win for Milwaukee last night, 10-0. Seven scoreless innings by Colin Ray. The Braves outscored 17-0 in their last two games. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will be live at the Kamala Harris-Tim Walz rally in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. A very special show live on location. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy today. We will get into the upper 70s to around 80 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the southeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, a sprinkle or two possible. Otherwise, partly cloudy, low of 60. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a quick update about fun on the cheap. Board games. There's a bunch of new stuff out there that's a cheap way for families to have fun. Here are a few of my new favorites. Wavelength is a party game. It's a spin on charades or Pictionary. You predict your partner's response to something. It's fun, it's smart, and we always end up laughing and laughing. And then there's Five Crowns. It's a great card game for a family of all ages. It's cheap to buy, and it's easy to learn. It's like Rummy, but with more suits. And last but not least, my favorite game is Wingspan. It's a competitive game about bird watching, which I love on so many levels, and my kid tolerates with me on special occasions. And good news, you can often try before you buy, because sometimes local libraries have games you can check out. Head over to workmoney.org for more tips. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer, coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. I'm sorry, Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah, what would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in Conald.
Conald.
Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Hey, Robbie.
Welcome back on a Wednesday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you. You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. In most areas of the state, it looks like field work can get done this week with the dry forecast. That might include the hay, oat, potato, and wheat harvest that's currently underway. In the Old Farmer's Almanac this morning, it says that August 7th is a good day to get any above ground harvesting done. It also says it's a good day to go to the dentist. The chart I'm looking at shows the best activities for the day based on the moon's location. Dental work and harvesting your field or garden are on the list. According to the latest crop progress and condition report from the National Agricultural Statistics Service, 45% of the oat crop has been harvested here in Wisconsin. That's 6 days ahead of the 5-year average. The winter wheat harvest is nearing the finish line at 86% done. That's 9 days ahead of the average. And about 92% of farmers have finished the second cutting of alfalfa hay. Almost half of farmers are done with the third cutting. Potatoes are not an above ground crop, but the harvest is underway with about 13% of potatoes out of the ground. Wisconsin is the third largest potato producer in the United States. To get that field work done, farm equipment is key. The fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke gives us an update on the auction opportunities out there to either acquire or sell valuable machinery.
It's a Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group, steffesgroup.com. I hope you're spelling it along with me by now. The toll-free number if you want to talk to somebody is 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. The guy I like to talk to, Ashley Hoon from the Steffes Group, along with us. Man, buddy, I got to believe closer and closer we get to harvest, the more and more phone calls streaming in to your staff at the Steffes Group. Let's remind them again, your belief is the more time you give yourself planning your auction, the better the results, right?
Yeah, that's 100% true. You know, if you're going to have an auction, you can have one tomorrow, but you better tell somebody first, right? You know, we always joke about that, but it's so true. And we look at these guys that have their retirement sales booked a year out, 6 months out. Everybody knows about it. Everybody's waiting for that one specific piece that they have. So they always see really good prices.
Well, and the other thing is, we're not talking about chump change in most of production agriculture. Anything that you're going to do is going to involve some investment. Strategically planning, not only selling that, but also if you're in the market to buy, you got to give yourself a little time. You got to look at all your options.
Yeah, truly. You know, and that can start with pricing what you have first, making a phone call saying, hey, this is the tractor combine I have. What have you been seeing? Where's the market on that? Determining how much more you want to spend, what it's going to take to trade up. And that's really what the Steffes platform is all about. It's all about farmers being able to buy from other farmers and being able to do their own trading.
Well, and I always like to point to the fact that your folks will mobilize. If I'm interested in getting an auction started, your folks are on the scene talking with me, looking at my equipment, setting it up for the best sale possible. It's a team effort.
Yeah, it truly is. So it's not some self-serve thing. Like you said, we're out on the farm. We're talking to you. We're talking about options, best time to sell, all them kind of things, and then talking about the piece and getting as much information as we can, because as a buyer, Yeah, people still go out and look, but they trust us and what we say and what the owner says. And, you know, and of course the pitchers, they always tell a story. So typically 100 pitchers on each item.
Yeah, and we were talking now, we're getting closer and closer to the harvest. So if people are thinking about, oh, geez, I need an extra gravity box, or I needed this, or I needed that, you might be hitting a sweet spot if they reach out to you right now.
Yeah, truly. I mean, if you're looking for to buy something for harvest, I mean, your cost to carry is not going to be very long, basically a month. So there's going to be plenty of opportunity there. And, you know, and then we always see a little bit of uptick in the market in the fourth quarter, say November, December. So, you know, as a buyer, now is a good time to buy. And if you can hold that secondary piece that needs to go after harvest, it's always a good time to sell.
There you go. He is the expert and the one you want to be talking to. Ashley Huhn along with me from the Steffes Group. Check out that beautiful website, steffesgroup.com. That's S-T-E-F-F-E-S Group. Or call them. They're happy to visit with you. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Huhn along with us from the Steffes Group.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Get insurance from a company who knows Wisconsin and cares about your community. You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home and auto rates? Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more about products and discounts.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
The old world staples, they stay, but there's new flavors on the way. That's the theme at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here reminding you their retail location, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchroder Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. Skip the store. Go to Bavaria Sausage. You can shop anytime online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, BavariaSausage.com. I was talking with Scott about some of the new flavors they've got in their test kitchen right now. One that's been a success and will become a staple, the Berkshire Brat. Scott said that he's going to give people an opportunity to actually visit with the farmers that he's working with to produce those Berkshire Brats. And right now they're taking a look at other new flavors. Best thing you can do, check back their social media pages, Facebook, for example, find out about updates, or better yet, stop in the store and ask the staff for samples. Again, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchroder Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1, Bavaria Sausage.
Big opportunities don't wait for the winter meeting season. Stay in the know now with Compeer Financial's Agri Mindset webinars, where industry experts bring you the latest in ag, and you don't have to leave the farm to listen in. Join us August 21st at 1 o'clock for an in-depth hour on navigating technology investments to benefit your farm in today's market. Sign up for Compeer's next Agri Mindset webinar at compeer.com/register. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.
The Wisconsin State Fair is celebrating 100 years of the iconic Original Cream Puff. And this year, Original Cream Puffs is taking it up a notch by releasing brand new limited edition flavors throughout the 11-day run of the fair. Christy Chuckle joins us, Director of Public Affairs. Christy, what do fairgoers have in store at the Cream Puff Pavilion this year?
So we've never done flavors during the fair. It's a challenge with production because we want to make sure we have enough of the originals to, and you know, we try to move that line along as quickly as possible. But in honor of the 100th birthday this year, we are kicking off the fair with root beer float cream puffs. And there are only 1,924 available each day because the cream puff was invented in 1924. They're doing those limited numbers so they can make sure they keep up with the originals as well. But we're doing root beer float the first 3 days. Then we move on to raspberry cheesecake. Then we have English toffee. And then on August 10th, we are doing a birthday party for the cream puff. So we'll have chocolate birthday cake, cream puffs, as well as the originals for that. And we'll have some fun things going on in Central Park, which is right outside of the cream puff pavilion. It'll be a lot of fun.
My jaw's on the ground. I'm thinking of these flavors. Like, I want to try all of them.
I know. They went through a lot of flavors and did some taste testing. I was not invited, which I'm very mad about, but no. I mean, they worked on this for a long time to determine the flavors that they thought people would enjoy the most. So I think everyone will really enjoy all of those.
Just keep in mind that these cream puffs are not going to be here all day. So you're going to want to get to the Cream Puff Pavilion early to get a taste of these limited edition flavors. These are a staple during the best 11 days of summer. We're talking real dairy and a flaky pastry that always draws a crowd. Christy, there's also a heritage component to the cream puff. What is the story on its connection to the Wisconsin State Fair?
Yes, well, it was created 100 years ago. So we're celebrating the 100th birthday of the original Wisconsin State Fair cream puff. It started in 1924. The governor at the time asked a baker to come up with a signature food item that would showcase agriculture in Wisconsin. Obviously, it had to have dairy, of course, wheat as well. But so the original cream puff was born. Someone asked me the other day, were they invented in Wisconsin? And I was like, no, I don't think so. Cream puffs have been around for more than 100 years. They were actually invented in France, I think. But what a great way. I mean, this is a signature, unique recipe that was created. They're very large, as a lot of people know. A lot of people try to imitate it, but I don't really think they can. You'll see them in grocery stores and things around this time of year, but nothing beats getting it at the Wisconsin State Fair because it's made right there in front of your eyes, fresh every day. And I think that's what makes it so delicious.
During the Wisconsin State Fair, she says they expect to sell up to 400,000 cream puffs. Christy Chuckle joining us from the Wisconsin State Fair, reminding you to celebrate 100 years of the iconic cream puff. The fair goes through August 11th. August 10th has been deemed Cream Puff Day this year across the state. And speaking of cream, let's take a look at our dairy markets this morning. From Chicago, the September Class 3 milk contract is trading up 15 cents at $20.39 a hundredweight. The October contract is up 10 cents at $20.92 a hundredweight. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese. On the close yesterday from Chicago, barrel cheese was unchanged at $1.91. The 40-pound block cheese closed up 6 cents at $1.90, and AA butter was down a quarter of a cent at $3.10 and a quarter. For the hunters out there, the Wisconsin DNR has released its 2024 fall forecast series detailing the hunting outlook for popular game species, including deer. At MidwestFarmReport.com, you can take a look at the animals you're interested in. In the deer hunting forecast, the DNR says there are some new chances for hunters to secure venison for the freezer this year. More antlerless harvest authorizations are available in most parts of the state, as well as some more late season opportunities in more counties. And now let's take a look at our grain prices. From Chicago, cash corn is down 3.5 cents at $3.85 and a quarter. December new crop corn down 2.5 at $4.02 and three quarters. Cash beans are trading down 11 and three quarter cents at $10.02 and a quarter. November new crop beans down 10.5 at $10.16 and a quarter. We go to France next, not for the Olympics, but to talk egg policy coming up.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing.
I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass.
It's only...
Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbush Show.
Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor with the Lincoln Project.
You know, one of the things I think that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people.
And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. We're all Americans, and yeah. It really is a melting pot.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Wednesday. Very special Devils advocates. Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, all in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I'll take you there. Charles Franklin and Rebecca Cook. Devils.
The Devils advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Not in the field, but in the streets of Paris in protest of environmental regulations by the European Union. The French embassy's agricultural counselor, Christian Ligier, tells us more about what French farmers are battling and how it compares to sustainability initiatives here at home. What you may not know is that France is actually the top agricultural producer in the European Union.
Yes, absolutely. France is the first producer in the EU just before Germany.
And what are some of your main commodities that you raise?
We produce mainly grains, and we are the main producers of wheat. And then after, of course, we produce meat, dairy products, and so on. But we are very well known for our grain production.
And wine.
Ah, yes, of course. But wine is a specific production. With Italy, we are more... Sometimes we are the first, sometimes the second, in volume. But in value, we are the main producers of wine in Europe and in the world.
Tell me about what we saw this spring from French producers. We saw protests in Paris over some EU policies. Explain that situation for us.
For a lot of reasons, but probably the main one was the fact that they considered that the EU ag policy will want to go too fast. They need time to adapt the way they produce, especially in a more sustainable way, to fight against climate change. So they want to adapt the way they produce, but slowly.
The farm-to-fork strategy for agriculture under the European Union's Green Deal aims to reduce pesticide usage by 50% by 2030.
So at the heart of this policy, it is a Green Deal. It's a general term, but for agriculture, it's a farm-to-fork strategy. There are a lot of ambition in this policy, but we can't implement it too fast.
You gave a really good example using sugar beets and how a sugar beet farmer is just frankly unable to cut back so fast and so much on pesticide usage and implementing other practices. Can you walk me through maybe an on-farm example of how they would like to see this policy enacted?
For example, for the sugar beet production, our farmers expect from the research, from new technologies, an answer to fight the pest, to continue the production of sugar beet, and to continue to be in Europe the first producer of sugar. Because if they can't use the banned pesticide, they want alternative solutions. And I think they're right.
What do they think of the United States strategy, voluntary incentive-based programs instead of a top-down approach?
I think that the American strategy is a good one. First, because it's a bottom-up strategy, and also because they want to convince the farmers by the proof that, for example, if they make a cover crop, they can get more money because they will lower the cost of production. They could sell their carbon credits on the voluntary market, and they could also maybe get a premium on the market from the consumer. So it's based on incentives, it's voluntary, and the idea is to convince the others by the proof. I think it's better sometimes than the European approach.
Is the EU listening to your producers?
Yes, so the French government gave some answers, but at the French level, but most of the, or a certain number of the requests have to deal at the EU level, and it takes time because we have to find a compromise between the 27 member states.
Christian Legere is the agricultural counselor at the French Embassy in Washington, D.C., explaining that while farmers in France embrace sustainability initiatives, they are asking for the European Union to implement a more reasonable timeline to cut back inputs. They also want to see research on alternative pesticide solutions for them to use. He says they do like the incentive-based, voluntary approach of sustainability initiatives here in the U.S. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Thanks for tagging along with us on a Wednesday morning. The fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke will be back in the big chair tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Farmers are worried about their financial future, and so are their ag lenders. Next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Agricultural bankers want a farm bill that will do more to protect farmers from financial hardships. At a recent House Ag Committee hearing, the chair of the Ag and Rural Bankers Committee for the American Bankers Association, Tony Hotchkiss, offered this.
Banks finance large farms, small farms, urban farmers, beginning farmers, women farmers, minority farmers. To bankers, agricultural lending is good business, and we make credit available to all who can demonstrate they have a sound business plan and the ability to repay. With our deep connection to farmers and ranchers, banks are often the first to see changes within balance sheets and cash flows on the farm operation, often due to changing economic conditions.
And Hotchkiss says those bankers are seeing those changes right now.
With rising input costs and lower commodity prices, farmers and ranchers have worked through the liquidity and working capital they built up over the past few years at a more rapid pace than anticipated and are now beginning to leverage equity through refinancing debt. This has made agricultural bankers feel like they are looking over the cliff in regards to the agricultural economy.
Tomorrow, a House Ag Committee member weighs in. And if you'd like to see a recording of this hearing, visit the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
Coming up, Kamala Harris is in Eau Claire with her new running mate, Tim Walz. Jim Santel filling in for Maggie Dawn.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Derek